excessive heat protocol. Pittsburgh Public Schools, 39 schools will be remote today because of the heat. Once it hits 85, right, Paul?
85 is the floor.
And I thought, well, what happens on remote learning days? I should talk to a teacher. Oh, wait a minute. My son Zach's a teacher in Pittsburgh Public Schools and is in one of those 39 schools, Westinghouse. Zach, good morning.
Good morning, Dad.
So when you hear this, do you feel glad to be able to work from home, or is it more of a challenge to do this remotely?
Well, it's a little bit of both. You know, there's obviously the challenges that go with it. The expectation, you know, on these days, on these remote learning days, is that we're, you know, still conducting live synchronous instruction for the students. But, you know, as we know, and on days like that, there can be, you know, technology connectivity issues. So it can be tough sometimes to check in with students, but we work hard to make sure that, you know, on these days we are checking in with as many students as we can, but there always, you know, inevitably are those students that are hard to get in touch with on days like this. So that makes it challenging for sure.
Zach, this is Paul Rasmussen. I want to note, can you see the students? Or can you talk face-to-face like a Zoom call?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, at PPS, we use Microsoft Teams, and, you know, I have live meetings with my students during the regular class time that we would meet. So, you know, we start a live meeting and all the students join, and, you know, we all get warmed up together and for the activity, for the lesson, and try to make it as close to, you know, the same type of direct instruction that we do in school. But honestly, there's a lot of things that you can do online that you can't really do in the classroom that make it kind of fun and exciting for, you know, all the students who are able to join. So
yeah, give us an example of that, because I know this time of the year, as the weather gets warm, as the summer approaches, it's harder and harder just from a practical standpoint to keep students focused because they're thinking other things. So what can you do online to keep them engaged?
Yeah, a lot of the times at the end of the year too, there's that just general giddiness that comes along with with being in, you know, the end of the year at school. And online, I've noticed it's actually kind of interesting because, you know, there is a mute button if you need it. But there's also a lot of things that you can do online gaming wise, you know, learning games that students really get into. Obviously gaming is really big right now for, you know, our students. And anytime you get a chance to turn learning into a game, that's fantastic. And a lot of times you get the opportunity to do that online, and you even get to see, you know, students who wouldn't normally engage as much. Sometimes they engage more when they're online. You'll see their face, you know, they'll get on their camera and participate in a different way. So it's always exciting to see it, you know, unfold that way as well.
A lot of people say, Zach, Paul and I were talking about this, well, back in our day, we just sweated it out, but you don't have AC in the schools. That makes it really tough, but some of the kids don't have AC at home either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, there is that part of the picture that we have to consider. But, you know, in some of these buildings, you'll have classrooms that are, you know, up over close to 100 degrees or more, and rooms without windows and, you know, poor ventilation. Some of the gymnasiums can get really, you know, really sweltering. So, you know, it is important in that larger setting, especially, I think, to you know, mitigate that if we can and kind of make adjustments. Unfortunately, it's just kind of is part of the process, you know.
I've never had a chance to ask a teacher this question, Zach. We've reported often in the following months following the pandemic about a topic called learning loss and some people saying how ineffective remote teaching was. But now we have you here. Tell us what you think about the effectiveness of this remote learning.
Yeah, I think, you know, the key word is really access. I think that students who gain the most from remote learning, the ones who had the greatest access to the instruction. And I think, you know, unfortunately, during the COVID-19 pandemic, we had, you know, issues with with bridging that gap. And I think especially in our underserved communities, where, you know, there is more support needed. So, you know, while there are those benefits of remote learning that we've kind of discovered along the way, it's absolutely, you know, true that the challenges that come with it, I think, make, you know, in-person instruction the preference for most teachers, students, you know, families, I think, across the board. But, you know, like I said, we adjust accordingly.
What's the last day for Pittsburgh Public School students, Zach?
Last day for Pittsburgh Public School students. The 8th? I got the teacher day circled. The 8th is a Saturday.
Oh, you guys, that's the kids. You have to go in an extra day? Is that it?
Yeah, I'm done on the 15th.
All right. Well, we'll let you get to class, but thanks for jumping on and letting Paul and I grill you.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Paul.
All right. My son, Zach, teacher at Pittsburgh Public Schools, one of the 39 that are on the extreme heat protocol.
And here we've been working together all these years, and I did not know that he was in the PPS system.
Yes. I have good insight into what goes on.
Well, now I know.
Some of which I can tell you.
Yeah, right.
Download the free Odyssey app anytime, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. We'll keep you updated no matter where you're traveling this summer. And you can watch us, the Ireland Contracting video feed, just a click away, kdkradio.com, and then watch KDK Radio live stream. You know who's taking it to a new level? Marty Griffin and his Get Marty partner, Patrick O'Connor. I'm looking in here. He's got additional cameras. They go live stream.
If you're listening to Marty talk with someone, or Marty and Patrick talking with someone, that someone is now on a video feed.
Yeah, and we have some of our guests with this new technology do the same thing. So if you happen to be watching, you can see some of our guests just like you would if you were FaceTiming or on a Zoom or Teams call.
It's a slick setup because Patrick's right in the studio with Marty, just like a co-host, but he's got his computer set up and a control panel over there. He can control all the cameras. I mean, we have at least twice as many cameras in there now as we had just a few months ago.
Right, and he's operating basically a mini television station.
Right, exactly.
Where he's selecting between the cameras. He can zoom in on some. It's actually pretty fascinating.
And the other thing they can do is, let's say that Patrick's out in the field and sees something he wants to, and he gets some video. Well, they can replay that at the same time they're talking about it.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. What are people talking about? One of the things is the drama in the court, this time in Delaware, and it's another precedent-setting trial in the fact that a seated president has never had a child in a courtroom facing federal charges, right?
I didn't know that.
Yes. And we'll have more on Hunter Biden because this is one of two. He will have another trial in September in California.
That's a tax trial. Right. Failure to pay taxes on $1.4 million in revenue.
And this trial is about
income, I should have said.
This one's about alleged lying on a federal questionnaire about guns. And whether he was, you know, addicted to drugs.
Which in his memoir, he says he was. We learned so much about this yesterday from CBS's Thane Rosenbaum.
He was terrific.
He really has a great overview. And the best part is, Larry, it's without partisan slant. He's just given us straight down the middle what happened.
And that's personally what I like is when somebody just gives you the facts, you make up your own mind about how you feel about it. You don't need other people to tell you how to feel about anything.
The story of how Hunter Biden wound up being in court when they already had a deal. It was a great story. People can go back and listen to that, right?
Absolutely. That's one of the advantages of that free Odyssey app. Or you can go online and you can select it. It's Thane Rosenbaum, CBS legal analyst. And he really sets up exactly what you need to know if you're following the Hunter Biden trial. And we'll have more on that coming up a little later. And also, the other inquisition of interest was Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Oh, boy.
The yin and the yang. So you had some Congress members who were supporting him and some, listen to this, just 30 seconds.
Dr. Fauci, you've brought together our nation and world's best and brightest scientists take on COVID and create a vaccine that works.
Others like Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene called him out.
Do the American people deserve to be abused like that, Mr. Fauci? Because you're not doctor, you're Mr. Fauci in my few minutes.
Which prompted more back and forth.
Mr. Chairman,
point of order.
Just in terms of the rules of decorum, are we allowed to deny that a doctor is a doctor just because we don't want him to be a doctor?
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
There you go. Tit for tat. And you know, really what I care about is what does Anthony Fauci say today about the vaccine in terms of it preventing the spread, right? Or masking or distancing? His answers to that have changed over the years. You know, I mean, what we all understood pretty quickly, I think you and I both would say this and agree quickly, that a month or two into the distribution of the vaccine, we were making it clear here on KDKA that it's not going to prevent the spread of the virus. It's only going to help you if you get sick. You will not right. get as sick.
It for most people, would help mitigate the gravity of the symptoms.
The worst of it. Right.
And that was, it wasn't a panacea to your point, to everybody that they would not get the virus. So, yeah. I mean,
there was a lot of confusion at first.
But there's some politics involved in this too, obviously. But
our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
I'm not surprised that the clips you played there, that devolved into that back and forth, which is one of the reasons why I think people are so turned off by Congress, because, you know, what people really needed to know about that was, what do you think today, Dr. Fauci? What would you do differently now that you know what you know? A lot of the things that we were being asked to do could not have been scientifically tested because we hadn't been down that road before, like masking and distancing.
So the takeaways from this should be, what can we do the next time we're faced with an issue? Because nobody was going to get that perfect.
That's what
anyway.
I'm talking about,
right? So
yeah.
It was unknown, uncharted areas of medical, I mean, what a drama it was. I still, you know, it's almost surreal when you think back of what we went through. And here we are now in 2024, halfway through the year, still talking about Dr. Fauci, whether he did this or did that. Bottom line is, how do I protect my family next time?
There you go. Because there will be a next time.
By the way, on the lighter side, how do you say that Dodgers name?
Shohei Ohtani.
That's it. Adam Crawley and Doran Dickerson, the morning guys on our brother station, The Fan. What makes that guy so good? We'll find out right after the news with Mr. Paul in a moment.
Yeah, that question should be, what makes that guy the best?
Yeah, maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
Big night on the North Shore again. PNC Park, the Pittsburgh Pirates, fresh off a day off after their road trip to north of the border, will host the Los Angeles Dodgers. Jared Jones will be pitching. Young phenom, last outing, he struggled a little bit. Outside of that, Paul, he's been really good. And then Paul Skeens, by the way, will be pitching tomorrow night. I imagine they'll do big business for that.
Well, I mean, 25,000 people showed up about to see him pitch on a Friday afternoon, his first home game.
Yeah, and you were there.
I was.
What did you, just as a fan watching him pitch, what did you take away from that experience?
Couple of thoughts. One of them was how confident he seems to be.
Even though he just turned 22.
Right. He seems very confident, has great command of his pitches. But I like how he competes. You can see how when he strikes somebody out and he goes off the mound, you can see that he's happy about it. He's happy that he got a pitch that worked.
I've seen you do the same thing after a great newscast. Just kind of throw the mic down and walk off. So I went next door earlier. For those that don't know, we are Odyssey Pittsburgh. We have five radio stations. One of those is 93.7 The Fan. We love our guys. They're literally right next to us. So I went in to talk to the morning show, Adam Crawley and Doran Dickerson, and just wanted to know, with the Dodgers in town, what makes, you say it, Paul,
Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani. What makes him so good, Adam Crawley?
Well, he can hit and he can pitch, Larry. I don't know if you heard that.
He can't pitch now.
He cannot pitch now. That's honestly the most amazing deal going on, is that he is not medically able to pitch. And so he just says, I'll turn that off and I'll hit 14 homers and have, I don't know if you want to get fancy stats here, but he'll have an OPS around 1,000. That's very good. And he's not even doing the other thing that makes him great. And when he is, he's a legitimate Cy Young candidate. So he could win the MVP as a hitter. He could win the Cy Young as a pitcher. That's Babe Ruth stuff right there, man.
What is OPS?
On base plus slugging. So he gets on base and he hits ball far.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Larry.
All right, now we're going to turn to Scorin Doran. What makes Ohtani so special?
Oh, just his versatility, right? I mean, just as Adam was saying, you know, I'm fascinated by athletes just in general, but especially by him. Like, I think about him whenever he was younger and, you know, in youth baseball in Japan, and, you know, probably everybody and all kinds of older scouts are like, look at this kid. This kid can throw. This kid can hit. Wait till he gets to be a teenager, and then he becomes a teenager, and then he becomes who he is now. It is pretty fascinating to see. And with him being hurt and him being able to hit still, but whenever he's healthy, to be able to pitch and get guys out and then go to the plate and hit home runs. You know, I asked Neil Walker this yesterday, and I think at the end of the day, whenever Shohei Ohtani's career is over, we're probably talking about him saying he's the best baseball player ever.
Ever?
Ever, yes.
Better than Josh Gibson or Babe Ruth?
He's going to be in the discussion. He will be in the discussion, I know that.
So we got Jared Jones tonight. It'll be fun to see him, and then Paul Skenes tomorrow go head-to-head.
We're going to have to go check that out, right? That has to be a must-see game. I'm sure the stadium will be packed. It's going to be nice weather, I believe. So I'm excited for tonight. I'm excited for this series. And what a great time to see the Dodgers come to Pittsburgh.
All right, Scorin Doran and Adam, just one final question between the two of yous here on the Big Fan Morning Show. Who handles the betting?
Tucapita Marcano.
They're so quick. That was funny because that story just broke. And they were just talking about that former Pirate who is being accused of betting on baseball while he was injured.
Marcano, right? Tamayo just had the story about that 10 minutes ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, listen, back to Ohtani for a moment. So far in 2024, in hitting in all of Major League Baseball, he's number four on the list, right behind players like Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. Now, in 2023... Mr. Ohtani was the best batter in all of baseball. And in 2022, he was the 10th best in all of Major League Baseball. Now, let's flip over in 2022, the last time that he was a pitcher for a whole season. And guess what? Number six out of all these pitchers, people like Justin Verlander.
Another former Pirate.
This guy is going to be in the top five, top 10 every single year, coming in and going out.
And what's he making? Some
$700 million.
But is he happy?
He sure looks like he is. He looks like he's having a great time playing.
Does he speak English?
I don't think so. He may speak some, but not fluently enough that he would need an interpreter, right?
Well, he had an interpreter, but he's got
another one. He can afford 12 if he wants.
He's got a new one. Apparently, the last one fleeced him for $4 million.
You know, initially, I didn't hear many people say that they believed that, you know, that this was, they were thinking that there was a dark problem here with Ohtani, that they didn't believe the story as it came out at first, and then that all cleared up later. And I'm glad that it worked out that way.
Yeah, for now. And it seems like he's not affiliated with his guy, obviously, they wouldn't let him play.
I mean, oh, please, not another great player like Pete Rose, right?
Yeah, so.
We want a baseball great to have fun watching.
Arigato.
Domagoriato.
Wow. What'd you just say?
Thank you.
Get off my lawn. How lucky can one guy? I love this song. Dean Martin, man. Steubenville, Ohio.
Loved watching him do a version of it in Ocean's 11.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Lawford and Frank Sinatra and
I had a chance.
The Rat Pack.
Remember when they had Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Sammy Davis touring?
Oh, yeah.
And went to see him at the arena. I took my mom, who was a big fan, and mom and my aunt Sis. And Dean didn't make it. He was feeling under the weather. But Frank and Sammy, man, they were great.
Yeah, it's a great time of entertainment. Great time in entertainment.
We talked about Ohtani and the Dodgers being here. Today is the day that his former interpreter is expected to plead guilty to federal charges in a Santa Ana, California courtroom. Prosecutors say he stole nearly $17 million from Ohtani's bank account to pay off illegal gambling debt. So initially I heard four and never heard an update.
That's right.
It was $17 million.
Think about how much betting you would have to do. Have to be doing it constantly.
How do you bet and lose $17 million? Well, I guess it's easy if you make a bunch of big bets and keep trying to double down and doesn't go your way. But can you imagine, and, you know, for someone you might say, well, why didn't Ohtani know? Well, apparently he didn't know because he has so much money and he has other people watching his money. And I guess this guy figured out a way to, I guess that's what you're going to find out. But if he pleads guilty, then he might not have to tell him how he did it. He just said, yeah, I did it. I'm a gambler. I'm addicted, right? If he says that, hoping to get some mitigated sentence, or I don't know if they can deport him back to Japan.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
$17 million. That's insane. Another thing that obviously we're all talking about is the heat. And we're not the only ones dealing with this. How about the American Southwest? They're getting ready for triple-digit heat this week. They've also had wildfires because of it. But check this out. By tomorrow, in Vegas, Phoenix, Palm Springs, California, 112 degrees is the forecasted high.
Listen to these temperatures for San Antonio. These are the forecast highs from today through next Wednesday. Ready? 102, 101, 99, 99, 101, 100, 95, 90, and 90. It cools off next Tuesday and Wednesday in San Antonio.
Jeez.
Wow.
And we're looking at 80, 88 maybe, 87, 89.
Which I think is super hot myself.
It is hot for early June because we've had days in June. Look, forecasted high for Friday is a high of 66 here.
Yeah, so baby.
So we've had these big fluctuations in temperature. But, man, 112? It's so hot. I heard John Shumway on KDK TV this morning. You know when they stand together with the anchors?
Yeah, they all hang out together at some point in the show, yeah.
David Highfield and then Mr. Smiley. And he said, it's so hot. And they went, how hot is it, John? The problem with being this hot, he said, you can only take off so many clothes, which stunned the audience.
You know, speaking of stunning the audience, just once when they're all standing together like that, just once I'd like to see Shumway put David Highfield in a headlock.
And give him a noogie.